You are listening to Chaos Springs Eternal, a Delta Green actual play, brought to you by Quartermasters of the Tabletop. This is Season 1, City of Woe. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes and disturbing imagery, as well as horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you're one of those people who don't mind comprehending some horrors from time to time, I think you'll have a good time listening here. Join us, won't you? Actually, I think this is where I'm going to start the actual thing. We aren't that interesting, but you know what is interesting?
I am.
Noah, I'm sorry, but you're interesting to me. I like you. I'm interesting.
I have multiple people that find me interesting. Do they say it constantly? No.
Your therapist doesn't count.
I don't.
Should our opening banter be the fact that we have never met each other?
That's
actually a pretty good
let's
one.
Let's reveal this. We've never met each other in real life.
Haven't
I
we?
Kind of know what all of you look like, but yeah. I am not 100% certain I'd be able to pick you out on the street.
Right.
I know a very defining feature of Mark. I know a very defining feature of Dan.
Yep.
I'm a fucking redhead.
And Tyler's the one with all the guns strapped to him.
Yes. Tyler is the one being arrested by the FBI.
Tyler's wearing a full ghillie suit.
I can't have an RPG in the middle of Manhattan? What is this? Literally 1984.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but honestly, if you lined up five bald guys who were kind of tall, I would probably not be able to pick out Mark.
I could. I know I could.
I hope that I could.
I could pick out Dan. I've seen enough pictures of Dan.
I've shared a lot of pictures of myself.
You do have a lot of pictures.
You're a very happy looking guy.
I've asked you all to delete those pictures, right?
I didn't know. Yes.
You
know.
Hang on.
I uploaded them online for everyone to see.
Oh no. Even
I even put them on that little golden disc that we shot out into space.
So the aliens will know what my feet look like.
This is what Dan's feet look like.
I think this is better. This is definitely better than the animal chiropractor.
Yeah, it doesn't just say this is Dan. This is a Dan.
This is the platonic ideal of Dan.
I will say, I think I could, of the three of you, I think I could figure out Mark if they were in a line.
Yeah, I'm pretty distinctive.
I could just say something that has any amount of a sexual double entendre, and he would giggle. Mm-hmm.
And I'd be the one giggling. I would be the one giggling.
Yeah, there
he is. Sure.
I would make them all draw something, and then I would be like, ah, that one's good.
That's him. That's
which looks or no, I would make him knit something.
Yeah, quilt something.
Well, yeah. I think it helps
quilt,
that
not
I look,
knit.
I feel like it helps for me to, like, I am the most generic Midwestern white looking dude that like it's like good luck finding me. I'm like an assassin in Assassin's Creed. I'm just gonna go hide in this little alcove and you're never gonna find me because I look like everyone else in this city.
You are like the I'm about to say something that might come off really insulting. You're like the Crystal Burgers of people.
I know
White Castle is way more famous, but Crystal's is like another one in the South. They do the small white, and they're like good burgers, right?
The small white burgers, yeah.
Yeah, the small white burgers. They're just like
you're a small white burger.
You're a small white burger, Tyler. Is that fair?
Just a little onion to spice you up.
A little pickle.
Actually, hold on. I'm looking at them. It looks exactly like a White Castle burger. So
that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
We
for the last couple years have talked about actually meeting each other, but we just never do it.
It is going to happen. No, it is going to happen.
It is going to happen. We made a plan this summer to do it, and then
I was going to say, remember a month ago when we were supposed to meet up?
We made it contingent on something that didn't happen. So then we were like,
yeah,
we never actually, that's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. Yeah. But yeah, we have never met each other, but we have been, like we've said before, we've been playing games for well over 4 years now.
Yeah.
So,
Some really good games in there.
Just, wild to me that it started with corralling a random group of people onto a Discord platform and then just being like, all right, let's just play a game for a while.
Yeah.
And then it ended with y'all trying to kill a cobbler.
That was pretty early on in the...
That was before me. I was not
yeah. That was yeah. before Tyler. That was Dan and I.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually... A lot of other people who we won't name,
right. Yeah,
who have sifted through the pores of our group,
through the mesh that is the quartermaster masters,
like washing fruit.
I've collected a lot of players.
You certainly have.
Are unique in some way, shape, or form. Some of them I still play with. Some of them I don't.
I mean, there are other players that, like, in many of your other games, Noah, that I really enjoy playing with.
Yeah.
Name three.
Chicky Tindy. And, I just forgot her name. Ruby. Like playing with Ruby.
What a terrible friend.
Hey. And I... I'm just going to say Mark again.
the unspoken stipulation was not one of the people here.
It just yeah.
Nope.
I enjoy playing with Dan and Tyler and Noah.
Listen, Dan twice.
Dan twice doesn't say one other person.
I'm really
glad that this trio of Tyler, Noah, and Mark can get along so well.
Oh, well, you know what animal?
Oh God.
No,
are we going back to the animals?
No, we're not going back to the animals, but we are going back to Florizon Manor, where last time y'all wound up back at the manor after a night filled with nightmares. Back at the manor, y'all started to explore again. You reviewed some of the camera footage to confirm that the officer Virgil Marr was in overnight, peeking around, taking a look at everything, and then y'all had begun to do some exploring. Marcy had specifically done some exploring with her, what are we calling it? Do we have a name for it?
But I do have a question for you. If you have a bad dream during the day, is it called a daymare?
What?
I believe it is. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to completely divert your tangent as far as possible.
I think they just call that a bad dream, Noah.
Yeah, but then why is a nightmare specifically called a nightmare?
All right. Well, you guys want to just start this whole thing over now? Oh man.
I believe it was just an RC. An RC car with a tape some type of video camera on it that had a signal out to the front car where Marcy was just hooked up onto it, not doing anything.
And as you had watched that signal, it had just gone out. So I don't know if you have any way to communicate with Joel and Cyril, but Joel and Cyril, what do you want to be doing while you're looking up there? And Marcy, what is Marcy doing out in the car?
Marcy is cursing up a storm because that thing cost her a chunk of change from... before the Radio Shack got shut down in town, and she is trying to fumble to grab her phone to call one of them. Or, well, is Cyril just straight up like at the door?
Yeah, he's just chilling at the door.
Okay, just from you would maybe hear like the car shaking and her just like, shit, goddamn it.
Oh, I forgot to mention that she had the last thing that we had seen before the video feed cut out were deep gouges along the baseboards, not the crown molding, the baseboards, and then the signal had cut out.
Crown molding of the floor.
Baseboards are the crown molding of the floor. That's like, yeah.
Quarter rest of the
really
tabletop.
Struggling with analogies.
I struggle with words. Editing every episode now, it's like, oh, wow, that's a word I just got completely wrong.
At least we didn't say porculius for like 6 years.
Yes. What? As we all know, it's pronounced porculus.
Porculus.
What? Isn't it portcullis?
Nope. It is portcullis.
The T is silent.
And
porculus.
The C.
And the C. Porculus. Yeah.
Poor Ellis.
You're wrong. All right.
Poor Ellis.
Fuckers.
All right. Listen anyway.
Here. Yeah. I think Cyril, if he hears that, he is just like, because he doesn't want to leave the doorway because he's the one holding the door open. And I believe Joel is in there and Marcy's in the car.
No, you have a, we have an item at the door. We have like a rock or something.
I know, but I don't really trust that rock. That's, I feel like if a ghost can push a girl down a, like a hole, she can move a rock. So I'm just going to stay put at the door and then he'll holler out to Marcy and be like, Marcy, what's the matter?
Marcy will open the door and just like lean out with her feet and then hands across her knees, look up at Cyril. It died. It broke or something. I don't want to go back in there. I don't want to go back in there, but I don't think there's much of a choice at this point.
Oh, the car itself died? You couldn't... The signal went out?
It just cut out. There was the last thing I saw was like scratching or claw marks at the, I don't know what the word, it's like the crown molding of the floor,
the baseboards.
Okay, sorry.
That's just like the floorboards or the ceiling of the floor. Is that a good analogy? No, it's terrible. Well, do we need to retrieve this car? Go down there and check it out? I don't want to... Here's my fear, is I don't want to go in the building, get shut out, and you're out in the car, and me and Joel are inside.
Well, if I'm stuck out here in a car, I'm going to ram it through some part of the building just so I can get in with y'all and have y'all have an easy way out.
Okay. Well, you might want to check with Joel. He has...
That is true. This is his vehicle.
An 84-month lease with $900 a month. So...
How is that a good deal?
It's not.
Okay.
But the Nissan Z is pretty sweet.
Oh. Thank you!
Does he just peek around the corner and yell that out?
Peeks around the corner. Thank you.
No, doesn't even peek around the corner. Just says it. You just hear his disembodied voice.
All right, well, oh no. Joel, are you and I going in?
I've been waiting for you to ask me that for quite some time. So, yes, we are going in.
All right, Cyril will leave the doorway.
Marcy will tentatively, holding most of her body outside, will walk to the door and try to hold it open. Or just start trying to maneuver more shit in the way of the door to make it harder for the ghost to close it.
I think first order of the business should be to, I mean, go check downstairs, see what happened to the RC car.
So. Be careful. I saw some open doors as soon as you come down on the right, down a very small hallway. Be careful. I don't know what could be in there.
Yeah, and more it goes rats. Without saying that Cyril is recording.
Okay, so you have something in your hands?
I have a camera in my hands.
All right, just to make a little note of that.
Oh, great.
Okay. All right, y'all want to head down these stairs over here?
Which stairs? I'm sorry. These ones here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. I might have been pinging on the wrong.
Hey, I don't have control over my token.
Oh, hang on.
There we go.
That is my favorite thing that I think every GM in any VTT does, is just put a token down, forget to give control of it to the said player.
Well, I kept trying to update the art for Joel's old token that I think he did have control over, and it would not update. So I just gave him a new one. And y'all make your way down the creaky stairs, steps. You know, the wood is definitely rotted and warped as you enter here. Cyril, you definitely smell that sort of awful, pungent, coppery, rotting smell. Joel, I don't know if you're as familiar with it, but you notice a funky smell.
Oh, is that what you said you smelled?
Yeah, you smell it? Do you smell it?
Yeah, it's pungent.
Yeah.
He's like, you see his eyes are like watering.
And then I think Cyril, just out of abundance of caution, he's going to like set up a camera. He's going to put it on a tripod, and it's going to look down, like, this hallway here.
Okay, so you've got one. As you come down, you set up a camera just looking through this doorway.
Yeah, kind of like...
Okay.
Yeah, like right in the door, Yeah. And then I think because he's worried about the scratch marks and he's worried about Marcy falling through and he's worried about the smell, Cyril will pull out his gun.
All right. All right. You can have your gun out.
Thanks.
All right.
Cyril Halo 2 dual wielding.
Yeah.
This one's for ghosts. This one's for flesh.
So as you make your way through, you both don't need to make any rolls to hear possibly what is causing the issue with Marcy's car, because swarming Marcy's car around the baseboards is a gigantic, probably like a 4-foot-wide pile of rats.
Dear God.
That begin to...
Oh, fuck.
Squeak and squeal as they overrun this car and begin biting at the wires, tearing it to pieces. And as you step through the door, you notice a handful of them look up and look over and begin making their way towards you. This is our first, I believe, this is going to be our first combat.
Shit.
Yep.
In Delta Green. This is going to be an interesting one. Especially, oh, here we go. Turn order.
Select all their tokens, right click. Add turns. Hot dog.
Nope, I can't do them all. I have to do them one at a time.
Whack.
So in Delta Green, your turn order is dependent on your dexterity. So if you want to put it in your dex, Cyril's working with a 15. What's Joel got?
10.
10. And the rat swarm has a 12.
Love that for me.
So this is our first Delta Green combat. For those unfamiliar with Delta Green, it's not a super combat heavy system for the most part, because combat tends to be deadly. And also you really only, it's not super, what's the word? Crunchy. You know, when you have a turn, it's like you do one thing. You can like move, or like you can like move a little bit and then shoot, or you could just shoot. You can spend your whole turn aiming. There's a handful of things that you can do. This combat's going to be, I think, interesting, because we've got two combatants and a swarm of rats who have begun tearing at this this car, but then notice Cyril and Joel come into this room. And so as they begin turning their attention away from the car to the new people in the room, Cyril, you get to kick off this combat. What do you want to do for your turn?
Grab the car.
I'm not walking over to get the car.
It cost me $85.
Was there any alcohol in the bar that she landed on, or has that all been stripped out of here?
Well, I would think that it would probably be gone by now, but you know what that sounds like?
Sounds like a luck roll.
Sounds like a luck roll.
Okay.
Oh, 69. Wow! Oh, baby!
Nice. Wow. That is the rule. This is a D100 system, so for me in D100 systems, 69 is always a critical success. So I say that as you turn to go check the bar, you find a whole unopened bottle of vodka. Just a big old thing of Grey Goose.
Nice. I'm going to grab it, and then I don't think I have any way to like light it, because that was my plan, was to like light it, throw it at the rats, burst it open, and like set them ablaze. But that may be a bad idea. But I don't have any way to light the actual rats on fire. That would be up to Joel. And I don't know if Joel has it.
He does smoke, so...
Okay, then that's what I'll do. I'll throw the vodka bottle at the rats.
My car.
I'll give you $85. Jesus Christ. What would I need to roll for that? Unarmed combat? Firearm?
Okay, sorry, you just want to throw it at them?
Yeah, I just want to chuck it at them and have it bust open and drench them in vodka.
Yeah, either you know what, you roll the 69. You can just do that.
Okay, then I do that, and I basically smash it. You know, so hopefully Joel can set them ablaze. So
all right, sounds good.
Alcohol, yeah. And then that's my turn.
Okay, the now alcohol soaked rats, for their turn, they're going to move.
Yep.
And begin swarming over Joel. Joel, this they're going to start biting at you, and so I will roll their bite attack. Let me pull this up.
And would I get a dodge since they're swarming over me, or no?
Sure.
Okay, I will attempt to dodge.
Sure. I mean, you technically haven't moved yet, so you wouldn't be able to dodge. But I'm sure, why not? It doesn't matter. They failed to bite you, so they are nipping at your pants, unsuccessfully getting through to skin, but they are soaked in alcohol, and
okay.
It is. What do you do?
As they're crawling up him and biting at him, he's like, "Ah, stop!" And just like starts like pushing them off of like his legs and everything. He's like, "These are good. These are my good pants." And seeing the liquor, the liquor splash on them, he will back up to meet with Cyril, and will light. He has a Bic lighter. He's gonna light it and just toss it in there.
All right. Yeah. What's your give me a, I don't know, Dex or unarmed combat. What's a decently high thing that you've got?
Well, I mean, my unarmed combat is a 40. I think it'd either be strength or unarmed combat. Honestly,
give me an unarmed combat plus 20 because they're soaked in alcohol.
Love to hear it. That plus 20, you said.
Yeah.
Boom. Nice. 23.
Nice, a 23.
Under so 60 would have succeeded. Now.
Yeah, would have succeeded even without the. Just one off from a crit too. So these rats begin to go up in flames. I just searched the agent's handbook and I could not find a Molotov cocktail damage. But if you want to, just roll me like a 1d6.
1d6, you say?
Mm-hmm. Wow,
Cyril got it.
Oh, that was
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Did you want to roll?
No, I wanted Joel to roll.
Okay, have Joel roll it.
Yeah.
Okay. I will take being able to ignore that one on a d6 to roll a 4.
Hey, nice. Yeah. Okay. So 4 points of damage. I mean, they begin to crisp up pretty bad, but they're still going. And it rolls around to Cyril's turn. What do you want to do this time, Cyril?
Okay, hoping that they just stay on fire, I think he will just start capping the ones that look like they're not as entrenched in the inferno.
Okay. Go ahead and make me a firearms roll, then, we'll say.
Alrighty. Success.
All right. Yeah, and you can go ahead and roll your damage on that one.
I don't know what my damage is.
On a Kimber? I think that's
not a Kimber.
Oh, well, I was going to say, if it's a Kimber, I think that's a 5d12 weapon.
Wow.
I don't know what the damage is. It's just a pistol, a sidearm.
Yeah, so probably 1d6 is my guess.
I thought pistols were d10.
Pistols might be d10. Let's go weapons. Light pistol, 1d8. So is this a light, medium, or heavy pistol? What are you packing?
I would probably say it's a medium pistol.
Okay, 1d10.
Okay.
That seems right. I mean, you're not carrying a...
I'm not carrying like a Desert Eagle Magnum or anything. Yeah. 7.
Nice. So with 7, I think what this represents is you shooting off a few more rounds into the group who begins to disperse. Some of them still on fire, but overall, they are no longer aggressing you. So, what do you do now that we are out of combat? Delta Green, not a super heavy combat system, but pretty easy to understand. Yeah.
Okay.
Joel's ears are ringing, and he's like, "Holy shit! What the fuck?"
Sorry, I don't know why y'all are always mad at me for doing shit I gotta do.
No, I'm not mad, just, goddamn, it's loud in here.
Yeah, that was pretty loud, I'm sorry.
What the fuck happened?
Well, it looks like a swarm of rats took over the RC car. And we set them on fire. Good call on that one. And I shot the rest. I shot a rat.
Marcy, you hear some screaming. You hear like some crashing glass. And then you hear several gunshots.
I think Marcy, like from downstairs, like, what the fuck are they doing? Hearing the glass shatter and the gunshots, her eyes just go wide. Fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. I think she's going to go into like a little bit of fight or flight. I'm just going to flip a coin.
Okay.
1d2. When I go into, I don't. Okay, Marcy fucking props the door open with the cinder block and other miscellaneous bullshit. And just begins like hesitantly making her way in. Like calling through the hole next to the floor. Like she's standing a little bit away from the hole. Just like back against the wall. Guys, are you okay?
I mean, where we're standing, we could basically look right up into that hole and see her, can't we?
Yeah, she can't see you from the hole. She's standing away from the hole so that she's not going to get pushed in, ideally.
But y'all can communicate through the hole.
yeah. No, I we're fine. I'm a little shaken up, but your car's pretty fucked.
God damn it.
What happened? Swarm of rats attacked it and then attacked us.
Rats?
Yeah, Cyril put a camera up right before it happened. You can take a look at it later if you want to see it.
Oh my god.
It's like, tons of them. Like 4 feet wide, like 3 deep.
It smells awful.
Yeah, that's the burning rat.
Okay.
Yeah,
great. Great. I'm sure we'll find a use for that footage. So do you need me down there? Are you okay?
I mean, at this rate I think more is better than none, but I'm not going to make you come down.
Fuck. Okay. She's going to go take a wide path around the hole, just staring at it and looking around the entire time. Weasel away to the stairs and make her way downstairs.
Okay, as you begin making your way downstairs, you hear a knock on the door.
Oh, fuck you.
The front door?
That's of course what would happen.
I think from the stairs, she just kind of calls out, "Something is knocking on the door, guys." In kind of like a quieter tone, just aimed downstairs to hopefully only they could hear.
Then answer it!
Fuck you.
Like, I'm dealing with other shit down here. A knocking door is the least of my problems.
Peek around from, like, close to the main foyer and just peer down towards the door.
Yeah, the door's closed. More knocking.
I knew it would be.
Of course it is. I
knew that door was going to be closed.
Hey, Joel?
Yeah?
From the other side, you hear, guys, did you go in without me?
Oh, it's Clementine.
Clementine, did you fucking close the door?
No, but is it unlocked? She jiggles the handle and it opens right for her. And she enters.
Marcy sprints and just stands outside. Just goes into a dead sprint to the fucking door.
Clementine, you push past Clementine outside and Clementine's like... What are you doing? What's wrong?
Well, rats almost just ate your brother. He sounded okay. Cyril has a gun. Burnt rats. I don't want to be locked in this house.
Sorry, okay.
You probably shouldn't go in there either. I don't know.
Okay. I want to go in there, though, because I'm hoping that I can see a ghost. You know what I mean? That's what I want to see, so I would like to go in. Is that all right?
Is that Clementine upstairs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good. Come on down. Don't mind the mess. We had to play Exterminator for a bit here. I'm just checking out Marcy's car over here, see if there's anything salvageable.
Okay.
Please tell me the camera still works.
Heads in, walking past the hole, taking a look in down the hole, like, whoa!
Get away from that hole! Get away from that hole!
Joel looks up at her. Jump!
She's like, I would jump, but I don't, nope, not that athletic. And she makes her way down the stairs. And into the room, she looks at the camera. She's like, oh, good setup. You managed to get a whole link. And she, like, as she's walking down, she sees, like, a rat on fire running by her. And she's like, what the heck? She steps into this room.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, hey, well, okay. Oh, sorry about your car, Marcy. She yells up.
Marcy's face is just scrunched. Just, god fucking damn it.
She's like, it stinks in here. Like,
okay, gosh. You smell it too. Good. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
If only there were a way to capture that smell, huh?
Yeah. Cyril is very curious as to what is in this room.
Yeah. I actually had a question.
We've been dealing with this room for a while.
That room? Or this? Because this room has been where the smell has been the strongest in this room.
Yeah.
But you can go take a peek around.
I just kind of want to know what's in that room. It feels like everything. Because when the thing was attacked, it was sitting right in the square.
No, actually, it was sitting up here.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I hadn't moved it to the right place, but...
Oh, okay. But I'm still curious about what's in that room.
As you, you can poke your head in. And I'll do a little Legion reveal.
It's a little billiard room.
Yeah. It's, mostly, again, these billiard tables are... I'm using the word rotted a lot, but that's what happens when you have a hurricane come through every year or so, and water damage happens, especially in this, you know... sub-ground floor / ground floor.
Clementine, I'm glad you're here. This is going to help us tremendously. Joel, Clementine, I think we all can smell something in here prior to the rats being on fire.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
All right.
I had a question.
I think we need to do a good search of this room.
Yeah, I have a question real quick.
Yeah.
In my dream, where was it that I saw me at?
You saw you, I believe it was up against this wall.
Yeah, after Cyril brings that up, I would like to come over here and investigate the piano and also the wall as best as I can.
Okay. What if we have Cyril in here roll a search, and then Joel over here can roll a search? Meanwhile, Clementine's like, so did you see the ghost down here, or where should I go if I want to see the ghost?
Upstairs is where the ghost was mainly.
Okay, all right. Well, I might take a little peek. But...
We haven't seen her today, though.
Okay. All right. So you both get successes. I'm going to say, Marcy, do you yell down, did you tell them about the baseboard stuff? Yeah, you did. You did.
She must have, yeah.
So Cyril, as you search around here, again, these pool tables, you know, all the felt is gone, essentially worn off or rotted away, maybe eaten by rats, you assume. You don't notice anything particularly interesting in this room, except that, you know, it's just a lot of wear, and you suspect that maybe the rats have been here for quite some time. But Joel, as you begin investigating up here with your 15 under 55, and with the little hint from Marcy about the floorboards, there's nothing special about the piano, nothing special about the walls or these sort of benches, but you see on those baseboards, like, the gouges, and how they're grouped in, like, groups of four. And I don't know if you, like, start pushing on the baseboards, but they give way really, really easily. And then it's because they give way really, really easily that you notice, like, a hinge, like a seam running up, as if there's some, like, door there.
as he pushes it and he sees it kind of go in and he notices, he's like, holy Scooby-Doo, what in the fuck? Guys, I found something.
Hold on. If you found something, let me get it on film.
Yeah, no, it's a door.
Yeah. And so Cyril will run, grab this camera, take it off the tripod, and bring it with him as Joel begins to open the door. Why don't you give me some exposition, Joel, as you find this secret,
yeah,
secret door.
Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. I don't know what's gonna get edited in and out of what's happening here, but Florizon Manor is some weird shit going on. We've seen and interacted with a little girl. We've been attacked by rats. And now I've found this, and he just pushes on the door. Or on the wall where the seam was. Oh my god!
Oh shit! Oh fuck! What do you see, Joel?
If the map is correct, there is a body, a human body, on a pentagram looking shape.
Oh.
Oh, fuck. Do I recognize the body?
So, as you look into this room, you see a man that you might know. He's got this just very distinct mustache, which some might say looks like a toothbrush. A very hard part white hair, but his skin is pallid and bloated. His torso has been just gouged out. There's no blood. That's one thing that sticks out to you right away. But his intestines are splayed across the floor, making this strange, strange circle that he is laying on. And I mean, this, you know, Joel would recognize this man as the mayor's brother, Antoine Babineau.
I'm going to make an assumption that this is a sanity roll now.
Yes. So, you and Cyril, I assume Cyril's going to take a look. And I'm going to go ahead and say Clementine has to make a sanity roll here.
That says failure for some reason on roll 20. That is definitely a success. 35 under 50 something.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Clementine rolled a 99.
That's not good.
Okay.
Cyril succeeded.
So, everyone who passed takes one. This is against violence, so go ahead and make a check mark under violence. Meanwhile, Clementine takes a full 6 points of sanity damage, and which sends her into a breaking point. At which point she screams and tears up the stairs. And she does not stop at the first floor. She continues up the stairs. And that's...
To the second?
To the second floor.
Oh, that dumb bitch.
And that's where we're going to end tonight.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Hey, I called it.
You did.
Yeah. You did. Incredible. You did.
Once again, Tyler calling one of the things that I wrote. It's like you have a backdoor into my computer.
Thank you once again for joining us at Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. This is Quartermaster of the Tabletop. Make sure that you check the show notes for all the important links and go on iTunes and leave us a good review. We really appreciate it. Take care. We'll see you next week.
God, Mark just had that one in the chamber.
That's going in the post-game bloopers reel.
Okay, assuming you've stuck around this long for this episode, this next part was the initial intro banter, which I cut entirely because it just did not work. So if you want to see what happens when it just doesn't work, these next couple minutes is what it is. All right, enjoy. Oh, well, hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal. We're happy that you're here and still listening. You know, tonight, I was thinking that we have had one person say we shouldn't do any banter, but you know what? That guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's not what I fucking said, you animal.
No,
you
we're not talking about
No, I'm not
you.
Talking about you, Noah. I'm talking about that one guy.
You're getting real defensive real quick.
Just because you don't like what turns out to be, I think, a very fascinating question, one that will reveal much about your personalities. Yes. I mean, way more interesting than, you know, cryptids or vampire cops is, if you had to be a chiropractor to any non-human animal, what animal would you choose to be a chiropractor for?
Invertebrates.
And this is based off the fact that people were doing horse.
Yes. The horse chiropractor that I watched the other day. I think it may have been a parody, but it was really, really well done to the point where I think it bridged that moment between real and parody.
It's a very uncanny valley on that one. Yeah.
Yes. It got me thinking. I was like, you know, there's so many animals that you watch how they like walk and stuff. Like gorillas have got to have like back pain, right? Like they the way that they like swing themselves around, I got to imagine it would be like a gorilla going to a chiropractor would be like a life changing. I mean, obviously it'd be a life changing experience
for the gorilla. For the chiropractor after the gorilla's done with him for.
In this case, we're assuming that the animal is understanding of exactly what's going on.
We've taught the gorilla sign language, then we've explained the concept of a chiropractor. Then we've reinforced the fact that it's going to hurt a little bit, but then you're going to be fine. You're going to be great.
I love the idea of Dan giving a gorilla like a chiropractic session, and then it like just walks off on two legs like a normal human being. Like, thanks, I've been trying to figure this out for millennia.
That's all it took.
Sauntering off into the woods. I gotta go find my cousin Bigfoot. He's gonna love this.
Wild gorilla.
That's the one thing that God knew gorillas would be too powerful if we gave them chiropractic.
That's how. That is a Far Side cartoon somewhere.
It really is.
That's funny.
What about the things that accelerates Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
What about you, Tyler? What animal would you chiropractor?
So Noah kind of stole the gag that I was gonna say. Right out the gate by shouting invertebrates. I was going to say something funny like a slug or a snail.
Image.
What part of this do you think is humorous?
The idea of cracking the bones of an animal that doesn't have bones.
Fair enough.
All right, little dude, don't worry about it. And just like, it's like, how did you do that?
Giving a back massage to an earthworm.
Actually, you know what, guys? The more I think about this, this is real stupid. I don't like this banter.
It's almost like I suggested this would not be funny.
I had a good answer, I thought.
You did.
No, you did. You did. I just,
I didn't answer yet, though.
He didn't say anything.
You will have. You would have. I believe you. Go ahead. Tyler, unless you could pull out the slug, let's hear Mark's.
No, let's hear it.
A honey badger.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that would mess you up.
That would really mess you up, but it also might just make them less angry.
It's possible.
The honey badger answer is like that one asshole cat your friend has.
Right.
That like just bites you for no reason. That's like the same energy I feel where like you go for it and it's fighting you the entire time just to spite you.
You manage to like weasel out that nerve that it has that has just been bugging it, and it just pops and it just looks back at you with like, oh, I don't need to be angry. I'm happy.
Hey guys, maybe that guy was right. Maybe we don't need banter at the beginning of every episode.
You know,
oh, I might just cut all this out.
Yeah, the best part about that dude is that I just want to banter about the fact that he doesn't want us to have banter.
Yeah,
should we just
drag our audience?
The thing is that we're not that interesting, fellas. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the gag.